Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Score hotline. Big Zay.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you are the prescient one. You knew that that punter was the man of the hour. He was selected by the Bears. I'm sure your phone blew up like mine. All of us that were eager and willing to see the great Australian come to Chicago, delighted. And right down to the point that Caleb Williams hits him with the text of, you're not going to have to punt a lot here.
Well, that would be a tremendous departure from what Torrey Taylor was accustomed to at the University of Iowa, where he was on the field an awful lot for the Hawkeyes. Highest drafted punter in the National Football League since Mitch Wishnowsky was taken 110th overall by the San Francisco 49ers. I think that was back in 2019. Wishnowsky has been one of the best in the league. Another punter who comes out of Australia, and it took nearly a quarter century, guys, but for the first time, I wrote a column about the team drafting a punter on the weekend of the draft. Like, that's not something that comes around every couple years. You got to wait for that. But I think the Bears identified Taylor as a special talent, as a unique player, a guy who can turn what has been a weakness for the team into a strength if Taylor is what people believe he is. You know, I talked to guys with some other teams multiple times because the guy captured my attention in Mobile, okay? And normally they get the specialists out there and you're like, okay, I can have a conversation now. I can head to my car. I can see what's on the Twitter machine. You know, you can do a lot of stuff besides pay attention to the specialist, but Taylor was different. Like, you could tell something really stood out about him. And so not a surprise at all that the Bears would grab him with the 122nd pick there in round four on Saturday.
He also caught the attention of Ryan Poles in Alabama at the Senior Bowl. You told that story well, Brad. I wonder if you could recount that, as well as could Ryan Poles have moved back, as some people have suggested, and still felt comfortable about Torrey Taylor being on the board?
Well, to address the last part there quickly, I think there were probably five or six teams that were lurking for him, and they couldn't have waited a whole lot longer and had any degree of confidence that they would have gotten him. They could not have taken Austin Booker, the defensive end out of Kansas, and flip-flopped him, right? Taking Booker there at 122 and then traded into round five and still gotten Taylor. Like, that, he was going to go before round five. His agent felt really comfortable about that, just based on, you know, you just look at the board and you say, okay, who's got a punting issue and where are they picking? Like, what picks do they have on Saturday? Where are they at? And so the Bears had to get him there. Poles, like, this is how impressive Taylor was. Poles gets on a flight to come home from Mobile after spending two, 3 days, whatever it was, at the Senior Bowl, and they've got the practice cut-ups on the iPads, on the tablets. And you can, you know, you can see everything. You just type in a player, whatever you want to see, it's right there. Like, one of the first guys he's watching is Torrey Taylor. And it was you watch some of this stuff and you're looking at it and you're like, I haven't seen a punter be able to do that with football before. It's almost like he's controlling it with a drone after it's off his foot.
Yeah.
And so, you could tell there was legitimate interest right then and there, and you knew that they had struggled in the punting game this past season, and it's not like they were great in the punting game prior to 2023.
Yeah, no, it was a position of need. I mean, honestly, I know no one wants to hear that, and then to get a guy drone-legged, I like that a lot.
That's a great description, yeah. Brad.
Well, and he's not a guy that's just going to punt you out of trouble. He's going to punt the opponent into trouble.
Yes, yeah.
With his ability to land the ball inside the 10, inside the 5-yard line, where it's easily covered, like it's the ability to control the football after it lands that I think is really unique here. And then, you know, the more you're watching this guy, you're like, this guy could do like trick shots. Yeah. Punting the ball. I feel like that. Like, I think you could set a bucket on the 4-yard line and have him kick from midfield. And I'm talking about 4-yard line near the boundary. Okay. And I think he could land the ball in the damn bucket.
And if he didn't, you could pick up the bucket and throw it on someone and it turns out it's confetti. I mean, these are things you can do just for the sake of. Listen, I'm not arguing him. I think it's going to be fun. And I think he's also going to be a real character and a fun story. I love this draft. And I love the draft in part because of all the things that they got out of it and all the things they used it for. You know, Keenan Allen is an unbelievable weapon. And now you got Rome Odunze. And now, you know, you're left with DJ Moore. They've got as many offensive weapons as I've ever seen for the Bears. I mean, you know, like we were talking to Rick Spielman, and he was saying Everett, the backup tight end, is a good player. Like, they've got guys that we don't even know how good they might be.
Yeah, they've got a wealth of options for Shane Waldron. He's got. A whole bunch of good problems on his hands right now as he looks at this and says, how can I maximize the utility of the guys that I have across my roster? You know, you talk about DJ Moore being their top receiver, and I believe he will be again this season. And they traded for Keenan Allen, and now they pull the trigger on Rome Odunze, and I think he's just going to fit beautifully into what they want to do in the passing game. They've got multiple tight ends. They've got running backs. So, it, you know, when they talk about Caleb Williams distributing the ball, you know, you sort of make a reference to him being the point guard. Like, you can do that with what he has around him. That's what makes this situation so unique, that normally the team at the top of the draft that has the quarterback fall into their lap because they've been terrible the season or seasons before to be in that position doesn't have, you know, they've got Kendall Wright and Dontrell Inman and Josh Bellamy to throw the football to. 2017 Chicago Bears right there. This is a totally, totally different situation. And that's why I think optimism is so high right now, and optimism is warranted.
I think that was reflected in the way that Caleb Williams answered the question, which I think provided the money bite for the weekend, Brad. On Friday, he was asked about those expectations, about that optimism, and he said, there's no reason to duck. I'm here, essentially. And I think that his arrival means that we begin to view the Bears differently. I wonder how hard that is going to be, because there is a lot of valid reasons to believe this is not only a team that could win some games and compete for a playoff spot, but they're going to be a team that scores some points. Are you going to view the Bears differently because they are now a team whose offense is maybe caught up with the rest of the league, or at least headed in that direction?
Yeah, I think you're going to have to watch Bears games like with a different expectation, right? This isn't going to be the brand of football that we're accustomed to seeing, mm-hmm. right? What I mean, for the longest time, with very few exceptions, when you get up on Sunday and you sit down to watch a Bears game, like generally speaking, they were going to have to win on defense, maybe take advantage of some special teams, hopefully run the football and get a big play or two. Like, that's been the consistent formula for the Chicago Bears for the longest time. And I think with the personnel they now have, they can go about it in a much different way. You know, you're going to watch them and say, I'm not accustomed to seeing this type of football out of the Bears on any type of consistent basis. Like, we're all going to have to sort of reprogram what we're looking for, because they haven't had an offensive roster like this in the longest time. You know, I mean, in the Super Bowl era, yeah, they could score points back when they were rolling under Mike Ditka, but they were, you know, they're the number one rushing offense in the league, and they were just beating the hell out of people with their defense. And it's a new era. And I loved what Williams said when he said, you know, no reason to duck. And I loved what Ryan Pohl said when he basically said, yeah, I'm tired of talking about the history, mm-hmm. you know, and yeah, I get it. A guy in his position probably should be tired of talking about the history, but that history, you know, I mean, that defines so much of the organization in the Super Bowl era and really even before that. And finally, they may be breaking free from that.
Brad, we have spoken about what we believe the identity of this team will be. And I'm curious, you know, I think they can be a very efficient offense. I think that, you know, one of the issues here is going to be convincing the quarterback that he doesn't have to be a home run hitter. He can kind of take the gimmies a little bit. And I think that given the amount of weaponry, they should have a lot of open receivers, whether that's on a wide receiver screen or whether that's on a, you know, a crossing pattern, whatever. He'll be able to hit his big plays, but, you know, we talked about it earlier. The two receivers that he had in college that were in the draft were taken in the seventh round. What does that tell you?
Well, that USC team wasn't good. Like, yeah. the skill position talent at USC was, I would say, average at best. Like had you swapped Michael Penix and Caleb Williams, oh boy, you know, if Williams had the wealth of talent that Penix had with the Washington Huskies, it would have been a totally different look. And that Washington offensive line, guys, that had some real talent. The USC offensive line was a sieve. So I'm with you. I don't think he's going to have to be Superman. I think they will be able to run the football effectively. I don't think they're going to be anywhere near top of the league in that category, but they've got Swift. I like him. They've got Roschon Johnson and Khalil Herbert, you know, kind of some different skill sets. So they've created a situation where there's going to be immense pressure on Caleb Williams. There is for all of these highly drafted quarterbacks. That's the way the business works. And I think Caleb's mature enough to understand that. Certainly the Bears realize that, but it's not going to be overwhelming pressure for him to go out and accomplish it by himself. It's just not. So the excitement level as we sit here and we haven't even turned the calendar to May is palpable for the season ahead. And I think it's justified. You know, the last however many years, you know, it's the crazy excitement about Justin and when before Mitch had kind of started that downward spiral. I mean, remember a year ago, people were touting the idea of Justin Fields for MVP, and there was just so much lunacy out there. And this is grounded in reality, and I'm not talking about Caleb for MVP this season or anything like that, but this is a team that's prepared to be a challenger in the NFC North, and I think you can say that in confidence 48 hours removed from the end of the draft.
Let's talk about the other two guys they picked in the draft, Brad. Traits guys, Karan Amagaji, the offensive tackle from Yale in the third round. And then Austin Booker, they traded back into the fifth to get the edge rusher from Kansas. We talked to Lance Leipold, his college coach, earlier, talk about how raw of a prospect he is. What do you expect from each of those guys in the rookie seasons?
Yeah, there's going to be a developmental curve, okay, coming from the Ivy League. Only 24 starts in college. He was injured, after, I think, in the fourth game a year ago. So, you know, that was a truncated season. But they rave about the athleticism, the length. You know, he's got some of the stuff that, try as they might, coaches can't coach up into a guy. Like, he's got these natural abilities. And so I think that's going to take a little bit of time. Obviously, they expressed some confidence in Braxton Jones by going with a wide receiver there at 9 overall and not an offensive tackle. So they've got some options, and they've got some – he's also another young player that they believe can continue to improve. So they've got some options there. Booker, yeah, some NFL folks I spoke to back, you know, 6 weeks ago, a little surprised he had entered the draft. Felt like he was the kind of player that could have returned to school – put up a big season, 12-sack season, something of that nature, and then had his name in the discussion to be a significantly higher pick. He does have the traits. Some of the clubs that prefer more stout defensive ends didn't like him at all. But his traits fit what Matt Eberflus likes in that defense. You can understand why the Bears are excited about him as a developmental prospect. Now, going to be more challenging to develop and put that game together as a rookie in the NFL than it would have been returning to school and trying to improve his draft status. But I think there's reason to like the kid's attitude, and he'll be interesting to watch. You know, this fits what they want to do. I don't think we're talking about a square peg in a round hole. And so they get a guy, without giving up too much. You know, you give up a fourth a year from now when they've already had some extra draft capital. So that move made sense to me.
How did the NFC North do outside the Bears?
Yeah, you know, Minnesota's it's all going to be about what J.J. McCarthy can become, right? Like that's. That's what the storyline is for them. I think when you go to Green Bay and the Packers, you know, I don't get it. For the longest time, I don't know that Brian Gutekunst and his crew in Green Bay have gotten the respect that they deserve. They tend to draft pretty well. Like and it doesn't always look splashy on draft weekend. And they set out to improve the interior of that defense with the Packers. And, you know, we'll see if they hit with some of these defensive guys that they got, like they have with some of the young offensive players that they've surrounded Jordan Love with. That's going to be a pretty good draft for them. And then I don't think there's any reason to doubt what Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes have going on in Detroit based on the draft record there. You talk about the turnaround of the Detroit Lions since those two guys arrived. It's been so draft-driven, it's crazy. Like, they haven't been big players in free agency at all. And they've rebuilt that thing through the draft. So, now they're not picking near the top like they had been previously. But this sets up to be like a really difficult division. And I don't know if that's something that people that follow the league in other parts of the country have maybe caught on to just yet. You know, if you're just looking at the league and say, okay, what are the most difficult divisions in the NFL going to be? You know, if you're in another part of the country, I don't know if the NFC North comes to mind immediately, but boy, I think this is going to be a rugged, rugged division this season.
Going to be fun.
Thanks, Big Z. Great stuff.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs, football man from the Tribune.
We need to appreciate his drone-like precision on a regular basis.
Oh, I mean, he doesn't drone on.
He does not.
But he punts like a drone.
That was a really good comparison.
I love that.
Great stuff.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Yeah, I think he's not scared for greatness. You know, he's not scared to put it out there. He's not scared to be himself. And I think you have to have that belief in yourself. You have to have that belief in the people around you. And it's contagious. It is. When a leader or a quarterback feels that way about his team and about what they're trying to accomplish, I think it energizes the entire group. And you know, especially, you know, I would really point towards, because there's probably, you know, in some ways a lot of parallels, you know, coming into USC where you've got a, you know, an all-time iconic place that's been a little bit down and you're trying to bring it back. And obviously there's a lot of parallels with what he's getting ready to come up there and do in Chicago. And to have that jolt of confidence and excitement in the beginning to help get it off the ground, I think is a key part. And he certainly has the inner belief to get that done.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. That's the voice of Lincoln Riley. He had a Zoom call with the media on Friday night. He is the head coach at USC. He was the head coach at Oklahoma, and he has now produced three number one overall picks. That, of course, being Baker Mayfield. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray.
Baker Mayfield did okay for himself lately.
And Caleb Williams. Yay!
Baker Mayfield's biggest asset, I think, is his perseverance. He's very resourceful, and he's a survivor. Right. Kyler Murray still can salvage his career in Arizona. I think he now has Marvin Harrison Jr. to add to the mix. And if he's healthy and focused, I think he could still succeed. And Caleb Williams, I think, is going to have success in Chicago. He's going to be the guy that everyone has been waiting for. And we can obviously only speculate now. But what you have seen in his first weekend as a Bear is easy to like and easy to understand what all the hype is all about.
David, you should join the Score and Budweiser this Thursday at Harry Carey's Tavern on Navy Pier for the 26th annual Worldwide Toast to Harry Carey. Parkinson Spiegel will be there. They'll be broadcasting live from 4 to 7 with actor and comedian Jason Alexander leading the toast at 5:30. I believe that's George Costanza. You'll also have a chance to register to win tickets to a future Cubs home game. The Worldwide Toast to Harry Carey is brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you.
Speaking of the Cubs, tonight they begin a four-game series in New York, licking their wounds after losing the series in Boston. They play the Mets. Pregame coverage right here on the Score, 5:35, first pitch, 6:10. You can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. And tonight, Jameson Taillon, Luis Severino, matchup of former Yankee hurlers on the bump.
Dustin, are we looking forward to the Mets series? Is this a good time to catch the Mets? Are you pleased?
Mets
with
are
this?
Decent. I hate four-game series, yes. Right? I can't stand
I like them. I like them.
Because I don't?
No.
Difficult to
sweep. No, I like them because you either, if you lose three out of four, I'm not sure how much I like them, but you know, they split with the Marlins, for instance.
I don't like splitting series. You know, I want... And that's what happens a lot of times, I feel like, in four-game series. You also get – it gets a little redundant. It gets a little boring if you watch as much Cubs baseball as I like to do or listen to. So, feel free to walk Pete Alonso a little bit. But this is going to be really interesting. I mean, they've got – you know, I predicted they'll split.
I think it's a good split because they're – starting pitching is compromised. Jordan Wicks on the injured list, the fourth starting pitcher to go on the injured list in the first month of the season.
But he's fine, and you don't even need an MRI.
That surprised me. I know it really triggered you.
It triggered me.
It definitely is something I want to understand better, and I don't right now.
Is there health insurance at a point now
I don't think
it's going to kick in?
They used them all up in April. I said that earlier. They have to wait till May 1st.
Haven't they met
the
deductible?
One a week.
You would think they've already hit the deductible.
You know, I think it's like
they're all free now.
So I don't know how you overcome all the injuries the Cubs have endured in the first month, and yet they're still 17-11, still in good shape, really. And we're waiting for Justin Steele to return. Did you say he's got a Wednesday start at Iowa?
Wednesday in Iowa, according to Craig Counsell yesterday.
And I think that's enough. If he's good, if he's ready, bring him.
So that's what you were shaking your head about earlier.
Yeah, I was shaking my head
about
earlier.
What I said, maybe two, and right. I mean, listen, he could do his work at the big league level just as easily as he could do his work with the iCubs, right?
That's what I feel like.
So, and they're coming home. So after the Mets, they come home. They've got Milwaukee and
San Diego. Yes. So
we've been aiming for that Milwaukee series.
Exactly.
So maybe, just maybe, he finishes the San Diego series as a day game at Wrigley, you know, a week from Wednesday.
It's a good date to circle on the calendar. Justin Steele needs to get back and pitch for the Cubs because they miss him and they need him. I know they've been okay without him, but you always need your ace.
So help me for a second. So Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, is the 1st of March.
May.
We know
May.
And we know roughly May 9th will be schedule release time for the NFL. Isn't that when the NFL releases its
schedule?
Well,
when I read this
usually?
Morning, I saw some dates. They said mid-May.
I think last year was closer to the 9th of May.
What you getting at?
I'm getting at we could know the Bears' schedule before we hit the Velus Jones Jr. birthday.
Okay.
27th birthday.
More we talk, are we having a Velus Jones birthday party?
No.
We got balloons and everything?
No.
Cookie cake?
We don't need that in here.
No? Okay.
I don't know if he's going to make the team this year.
It goes so well last time they had a party in the studio.
Should be interesting to see.
Look, the schedule release date matters because,
yes,
number one, we can all predict how good the Bears will be. Number two, we can finally book that trip to London.
We went through the schedule. And we talked about how many games they're going to win. And I believe on Saturday morning, we kind of reversed the 7-10, right?
We did. We both had 10 victories.
So Dustin will have 12, I guess.
Also, was it Saturday or Friday? I can't remember when it took some grief because I suggested that the Bears might be the darlings of the NFL this year in terms of primetime.
Oh, no. I think that's coming.
And I think there could be as many as 6 primetime games.
We talked about
that. Wow. 6?
5 or 6?
Yes.
For our sake, I hope not.
I think you're allowed 6, right?
Yeah, but I think
they're going to get every inch.
I'm
going to
set the over-under at 4.
It's over. Oh, I'm taking the over.
You, sir, are delirious.
Over.
In a good way, but completely.
Don't
delirious.
You think? Am I being provincial by saying that?
No. I'm talking
how many
about
Sunday nights?
Well, I don't know about Sunday nights.
Night,
well, that's
Thursday
the worst. Sunday
night.
Sunday night's the
Monday
one that is
night.
The worst one for us, for me anyway.
Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. I don't think there's any good night that they're.
Well, Thursday you can plow through.
Okay.
You know, you wake up Friday, you're juiced from the game, you do the show, you get a break, right? But Sunday just starts the whole week off on a bad note because you're living your life in a, quote, normal way.
My guess is they have 2 Sunday nights, 2 Monday nights, and 2 Thursday nights.
2-2-2. What about Christmas? What do you think? Maybe Christmas Day.
Is it on a Wednesday this year?
Wednesday.
It'd be good to avoid Thanksgiving again.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, but Lions Bears on Thanksgiving, they might really want that.
Let's go back. I know it's been a while, but we're all really kind of experiencing this new metamorphosis and remembering what it's like when the Bears are actually relevant. And some of us don't have a lot of reference points when they are relevant. The Bears in Chicago.
Yes.
It's great for the league.
Great for the league.
They love the idea of that.
The league will tap into that.
And they're going
no
to get as much out of it as they can. And if this is the beginning
national
of something
ratings.
Special,
yeah.
Caleb Williams, I don't know if we've noticed, he's a celebrity. He's on the Laker games. He's doing the bear claw. This guy's got a pizzazz. He's got a little panache. He's very, very comfortable in that leading role. They're going to be all over television. All over.
Yes.
So very few noon games, a lot of 325s, evenings.
Yeah, I think the noon Sunday thing,
I hear you say the word metamorphosis, and I think only of the former Bears defensive end Alonzo Spellman, who once explained that he went through a mental morphosis when he got on the field. That's a true one.
He was interesting.
One of my favorite Alabama.
He was interesting.
That makes
no
you
doubt.
Laugh. That makes you laugh.
The other great one, I don't know why I'm going to tell this story. Danelle Wolford was out, he was like questionable for like 12 straight weeks or something. And Brian Cox said something about we got a guy here who's always on the injury report but doesn't seem to be able to play. And Woody got very offended and said, he's questioning my credibility.
Yeah, well.
So now he can't get a car.
No.
And he's having problems.
Can't buy a house, can't get a car, can't put anything on credit. No way.
I love stuff like
that. Hey, speaking of debt, good segue. Sorry.
Thank you.
We need to touch on this real quickly because we'll get into it more later in the week. But over the weekend, the Tribune had, actually maybe it's this morning, but I had a lot of conversations about this over the weekend. This whole Lakefront Dome Stadium project, the $4.6 billion albatross that's coming our way. The renderings are beautiful. Trib has a story today you want to check out on page 2 of the print edition. It's online at your convenience.
Yes.
True public cost of Bear Stadium would be billions more over time.
See, this is, we got the big reveal, we got the drawings and the renderings, and we got a talk of money and how much it would cost, how much the Bears are putting in and how much it would cost the city. We got a mayor who's up there cheerleading for them and really anxious to get that done. Meanwhile,
comma,
we found out a lot more information.
We found a lot of information about the total costs and how they could creep up as projects tend to do.
And I think the first bit of information was over the weekend we learned, or was it Friday, that the Bears, they want to control that building to the point where anything held there, the Bears get paid.
That would be part of the negotiation, which would make it understandable why they don't have a problem not owning the stadium if that is the deal they strike.
Because they effectively would own it.
It would be publicly owned, but privately we're pocketing every dollar.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a great situation.
And then we have, what is it, $639 million, something along
give
those lines, that is still owed on Soldier Field, but we're going to roll that into the other loan.
Yeah.
And by the way, that loan is going to take 40 years to repay at an extra couple
it's
billion.
It's a lot. It's a big ask. On Friday, as you know, I moderated a discussion at the Union League Club of Chicago with State Representative Cam Buckner and Alderperson Nicole Lee, who's from where the Sox are right now in Bridgeport.
Yeah.
And it was really, they were very candid. And it was one of those conversations about the role the public should play in these private stadium projects. And I got the sense, not to speak for them, but it was on the record. It was, you know, it was covered as a news event. I got the sense that there's going to be considerable obstacles in the way here. This is not something that is going to be rubber stamped. I don't think anyone should expect that. I don't even know if there's a back room big enough to make this kind of a deal, because there's not a lot of momentum for that downstate. And whether it was Representative Buckner or Alderperson Lee, there's a lot more ground to cover before anyone should feel comfortable or expect, you know, the shovel to go into the ground.
Yes. And, you know, we also have been told that every year is another $150 to $300 million more.
Mm.
So it's got to be done quickly. It sounds like this is a non-starter.
Well, as I left there Friday afternoon, I made me think of our conversation with Arlington Heights Mayor Tom Hayes. Still waiting, still be there, and they'll do what they need to do to adjust and adapt according to the timetable. I think that's still got to be in play based on the scope of the plan and the project right now and the tone of how receptive or the lack of receptiveness maybe on behalf of some of the people we've talked to, especially starting with, didn't even mention Governor Pritzker, who has left no doubt where he stands on this.
And I mean, it's an election year. We talked to Kevin Warren about the timing of it, and there's never good timing. But this, I mean, the pushback has been fairly final. I mean, I don't see wiggle room with some
it's
of the things people are saying.
It's considerable. I think in politics, especially in
There's
Chicago,
always,
you never want to be that definite or final about what we're projecting or predicting, but it would seem to be an uphill climb. I think we can all agree on that. And so you wonder where this is headed. As somebody pointed out to me over the weekend, said, well, based on the way the draft went and based on the way the stadium project presentation went, they might want to consider putting Ryan Poles in charge of that.
Well, let's close out our draft talk with our guy, Don, always a good caller. Don's on the west side.
Hey, Don. What's up, Don?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. What's up, buddy? You're on.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm going to leave it Dr. Dumbass, man. No, but what I wanted to say is with Caleb Williams and everything, how everything's shaping up in the NFC North, you know, I like the storylines that's coming on. You know, you got a J.J. McCarthy that maybe have a chip on his shoulder. You know, you got the Lions fan. I see Amon-Ra St. Brown was teasing us or whatever, but, you know, your fans just got finished suffering from Brown bag asphyxiation because I'm pretty sure it was no air up there with that bag over their head. But anyhow, you know, I just like the way the division is looking chippy. You know, you got the Machine up there in Green Bay with Jordan Love. You know, they're, you know, looking like, okay, well, don't forget about us. We ran this division. So I think our division is going to be the best in football. And, you know, of course, I know we have to see it on the field, but I feel as though if we win our division, we have a shot at least going to a Super Bowl. I don't know how soon, but, you know, we win this division because I think it's going to be one of the best, if not the best, in the NFL. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Don.
Thanks, Don.
I don't know if it's going to be the best. It will be improved. It might be the most improved, but I still wonder if it will be the best. You look around and, I look at the Bengals and the Steelers and the Ravens in the same division, and I think
Steelers had a good draft.
It's a lot to say that the Bears
got a new quarterback in Justin Fields.
They got a new quarterback in Russell Wilson.
Russ Wilson's done.
I'm just having fun with you. But like, do you really think Justin Fields can start more games than Russell Wilson?
I want a fourth round draft pick.
I know.
That's all that is.
Could happen. Yeah. It could.
I'm cheering for it.
I think everybody in Chicago is cheering for Justin Fields.
Yeah, no doubt about
and
it.
I understand that. He's a guy to respect.
Listen, we've got Dan and Layla next. We're going to talk to them. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.